Let's call to order the regular meeting of the Improvements Committee for June 7th, 2022. The next item on the agenda is consider finding that as a result of the COVID-19 emergency, meeting in person would present imminent risks to the health or safety of attendees, and the meeting is authorized to be held by teleconference pursuant to government code. Are there any objections? Hearing none, let's move on to item number three on the agenda, comments from the public. Amelia, any hands or chats?
I have no hands raised. We won't be having chats today. If you have something to say, please raise your hand or just speak out and we'll get to you.
All right. Let's move on to the monthly update then. Michael?
All right. Can everybody hear me okay?
Yes.
Okay. Yep. For our SB 170 funded projects, our water treatment facility hypochlorite conversion design is moving forward, and we're working on getting HDR a data request for the data that they need to get their design started. And they have visited the facility again, their electrical engineer, so that project is moving forward. We have released the RFP for the recycled water disinfection upgrade at our wastewater treatment facility. We should be getting something back from the list of people that we sent out to by the 30th of June. That's the deadline. We're going to be putting together another group to rate those RFPs. I'll be on the project. Travis will. Do we want to have a, we have a volunteer from the improvements committee on the board in to be part of that committee?
Randy or Marty?
So what was the question? Do you want somebody from the board to be involved? Is that what you asked?
Yeah, on the RFP rating.
Oh. I'd be happy to help if you want.
Okay, well, I'll mark you down for that.
That sounds good. You know, Marty has a lot of experience with this stuff. I have very little, so I think you got the right guy.
Perfect. Yeah, Marty was good help last time. Grandland Safety Improvements will soon be scheduling a meeting with HDR. We want to take a look at some of the structural concepts for the four-bay cover, so I'm still waiting to get a date on that. No update on Laguna Joaquin. For our sewer section, lift station 6A, that's the station we've been having so much trouble with. We are getting ready to order replacement pumps and schedule those installation along with the new VFD. Then we'll pull out our emergency pump and have that put on the shelf. To date, we've spent, I think the board had asked how much have we spent on this emergency lift station, and we're about the $40,000 range when you count the equipment, service, and labor responding to the status, pumping and trucking of the sewage. Main lift south, we had a radiator hose fail, and I believe that it caused the batteries to be damaged. When that was repaired, it was found that the generator could not produce the 480 volts needed to power the lift station in the event of a power outage. A faulty regulator was identified and has been ordered and scheduled for replacement. We have a range for a rental generator in the interim. Travis, is there any additional details that the board that they might want to know?
I spoke with Robert from Holt yesterday, and the part was supposed to be in yesterday, but didn't show up. He's anticipating it being in this week, and as soon as it comes in, he'll get somebody out here to get it fixed.
Okay, great, Travis. Thank you. For the recycled water facility, our recycled water facility was put into operation on June 3rd. The plant water and tertiary feed pumps have been rebuilt and installed. Tesco has finished up work on the minor modifications to the control system. We had to replace a chlorine residual analyzer. We had to get the air service operation working correctly to our hydrodynamic tank. Just a series of things that we have to do after the winter mothball. So that is up in operation on the west end, and we're going to get the east end of the plant
operating shortly. So we're currently making recycled water. Probably in the next 2 or 3 weeks, we're going to test out the Van Vleck spray field.
Correct.
Make sure to see if there's any leaks and fulfill our contractual obligations. Moving on to the water side, our diversion is complete for our water season as of May 31st. Well, we were able to get a waiver for the demand charges from SMUD to test out our 500 horsepower pumps. Prior to the test day, the river flow dropped below 175 CFS, disallowing the diversion of the over 6 CFS. So unfortunately, the river flow dropped down before we were getting ready to test those pumps. So I think we're going to maybe take a look at testing those pumps, potentially, if we want to do this every year, which I think is probably a good idea, to maybe schedule that for March. So theoretically, we'll have more river flow and we'll be able to test those horsepower pumps, those higher horsepower pumps. So Claro is within 4 inches of the top of the stop logs. Jesbro has, you know, roughly 1,200 acre feet of water. Clementia is to the level of the spillway. The final diversion numbers for the pump station for the season is about 2,300 acre feet. So we did not fill up our stop logs. This is, and I believe this is the first year that that's been the case. The reason being we believe is that we were curtailed for a week, and that's right, you know, after we had put the stop logs in. That's traditionally where we are able to top off all our reservoirs. Now they all are technically full, just the stop log additional level is not full. So Rio Oso, the expansion couplings have been ordered and are scheduled to arrive in late July. We're in the process of receiving a quote to replace the older gate valves. We should have that today. No? Travis is shaking his head.
We were supposed to have it yesterday.
Okay.
Hoping to get it today.
Hoping to get it today. Once we know what those costs are, we can take a look, bring that to the improvements committee, and decide how much renovation we want to be doing the station. I have put some money in the budget for that for next fiscal year. The water treatment plant, we've got both facilities, number one and number two, in operation. We're currently producing a rate of about 2 MGD. I have not received any additional state water conservation requirements as of yet. And like I said, the reservoirs will not be completely topped off this year. This is the first time, I believe, in recent staff memory.
So how long have you been here, Travis?
12 and a half years. This is the first time that I've been able to top off.
First time in 12 and a half years that we haven't been able to top off. And so that's a discussion item. I believe that's the next agenda item. I'm hoping to get the draft stage storage curve from Adkins Engineering. They're creating a surface in AutoCAD from the work they've done with the bathymetric survey out on Calero. Be receiving that soon. Site development. Blasting took place the week of the 23rd at the Riverview site. The punch list has been submitted to the developer for phase 1A. 4 water meters have been installed for those model homes. The retreats, the developers continued installing sewer mains. Pads are continuing to be excavated. Total of 10 water meters were purchased by the developer and installed subsequently. The developer's been issued a total of $4,500 in fines for illicit water connections. There's also going to be blasting this Thursday between an area between kind of Marietta Parkway, De La Cruz, and Hole 9. So we're I think Amelia's getting that up on the website so people will have that information. Taco Bell's getting close to being open. No update on Circle K, except for they got a manhole in and they got it successfully tested. That site's taking a long time. Residents east and west, the developer has submitted draft drainage study and grading plans to CSD in the county. So that's what I have for my report. If there's any questions from the committee.
Martin, anything?
Could you, with regard to the fines for illicit water connections, what's an illicit water connection?
Well, that's another word for like illegal, not allowed water connection. So what happened is the developer connected into our water line without asking in 9 separate locations.
Oh, you mean that to get
that's a big no-no.
And the purpose of the water was to like keep down the dust or something?
No, I think they were using the water for some kind of I think they were the foundation guys. They were just trying to soften up the soil. Oh.
But, oh, no. Can I jump in here?
Yeah, please. Go ahead, John. Do you have more information?
I don't think it had anything to do with digging the foundations. I think it had to do with keeping the compacted pads moist according to the soils engineer's request. When you compact that material, there's requirement to keep water on it.
Yeah.
And when they can't take the water truck up that small street with everything else going on it, they should have known better, or they should have asked. But
yeah,
that was so it was inadvertent. I wanted to ask a couple of questions, if I could. What was the level in secondary storage when you fired up the DAFs? Do you know what the acre foot
secondary storage? Are you talking about the secondary treatment storage?
Yeah. The two big ones.
You know, I don't have that in front of me, but I know we're about almost 40% more storage than we had last year at that same time.
Yeah, and that leads to the question of approximately how much will you send over to Van Vleck in the next month?
You know, I don't have that information for you. We're going to take a look at, we're going to be planning what we're going to be using, and I don't know yet. I know that we have a certain amount that we have to contractually provide to them, and I know the golf course will probably use every last bit, so that's something that we have to discuss.
Yeah, the agreement reads that within every 24-month period, they have to get some water. There's no agreement on how much they get. But I was just asking, typically when the DAFs go on and we know what's in the secondary storage and we know approximately how many irrigation days we have left, we can calculate whether we'll get down to plus or minus 100 acre feet in storage October 15th. That's always been our goal.
Is to get just down to dead storage? Whose goal? Your goal?
No, the district's goal has always been to take the secondary storage total remaining volume at October 15th and be under 100 acre feet.
Is that the dead storage?
No, dead's probably about 50 or a little less. But we way back when we had a DAF problem, we ended up with a spill, and that was quite costly and much angst over it. And so that's kind of been the game plan, is to get at October 15th to be as low as possible, but certainly under 100 acre feet. And we
make sure that
the club and I usually do a calculation about how many irrigation days at what rate they can pull water and still, you know, have enough to get through the season from Lake 10 and 11 in Bass Lake. Yeah. And of course, that's a crapshoot because we never know when it's going to rain. But that's the plan, October 15th.
Yeah, I imagine we're going to be, you know, providing as much water as the golf course can use this year.
Well,
I can't tell you what the priority is yet. That's a discussion that I need to have with Tom. Good news.
Anything else, John?
The good news is we have enough, a lot more this year than we had last year.
All right. Thank you, Michael. So the elephant in the room here is, I'm going to preface this by, as I recall, 2 months ago, you brought forth what you wanted to do for the coming fiscal year as far as capital improvement projects. And I think you said that if you did them all, that you would deplete all of the reserves, I think in the water budget. Is that right?
I don't remember saying that. It could be when we were looking at that, we were looking at potentially doing some additional projects. We were looking for asking for extra funding, but I'm not necessarily sure. And maybe Paula, you can back me up on this, that we would deplete our projects this fiscal year.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that you did. And I at the time I didn't question all of the projects. I just assumed that we would not do all of those projects because there's no way that we were gonna go ahead and deplete the reserves down to less than zero. But now we've got these three projects that we've got partially funded, and we know we don't have near enough money to do them. All we can do is do the design and whatnot for them, and then somehow we're gonna find the money to augment to get them done someday. So my question, or maybe it's just a comment, is we got to start thinking about revising all of that long-term planning and how we're going to move forward using a carryover budget, because we're not going to have any leeway. I think what we need to start thinking about is, okay, we're going to run down the reserves trying to do these capital projects. Some of them absolutely need to be done. Some of them maybe we can put off, but it's not a good idea. I think you can tell where I'm going with this. All I'm going to ask you is, have you started down this road and started thinking about this situation?
Yeah, I mean, I can definitely prioritize projects, but you know, like you said, some things need to be done like immediately, or actually, you know, 5 years ago, and some of them, you know, could be kicked down the road. Maybe not a good idea, but you know, at the end of the day, you can only do with what you have. So I think I need to get more information from the financial end of things so that I have a basis for determining which projects need to, you know, can be prioritized.
Right.
You know, I think that's an internal
discussion. And I think this is something that the entire board has to be a party to, as far as how do we want to handle this? How do we want to prioritize what absolutely needs to be done and what doesn't make any sense to put off? And if we're headed down the path of needing to go out and float some bonds, we need to start thinking about it now. Tom, any thoughts?
Yeah, I agree with you, Randy. Given the situation we have with our rates having to be not adjusted July 1 for next year, the reserve balances are really need to be reviewed. And this accounting firm that we've hired to help us figure out our accounting is very focused on the reserve. So I think we'll have a better answer on our balances shortly and our flexibility. But if we have to borrow money to shore up our reserve accounts, that's something we'll be working on over the next few months as the rate increase. The results of the Prop 218 protests have an effect on our next year's budget. More on this as soon as, you know, as soon as we get these folks on board and caught up with our audits and our accounting of our entire accounting system.
Yeah, and I'm just bringing up the obvious here. This is something that the board and the staff are going to have to struggle with here over the next, months and years, actually, to figure out how we proceed under this situation. Amelia, any hands or chats? Hands.
Just for John, but John already spoke, so no hands, no chats.
All right. Let's move on then to discuss potential voluntary water restrictions.
So at the last board meeting, it was decided that to have this conversation at the improvements level. All I can do is provide the committee with information of where we currently are in our storage levels, what current restrictions are there by the state, and there are none as of yet. I do understand that the governor is unhappy with all our agencies and our, not meeting the 15% reduction to 2020. But currently there's no specific restriction as of yet for non-urban water suppliers. So I would like to open up the discussion. I will say that this is like Travis had mentioned, this is the first time in at least 12 years that we haven't been able to fully top off all three reservoirs. And this is also the first time, I believe, that we've had our rights curtailed. For some reason it was only curtailed for a week, and we were glad that we were able to start pumping again, but it's kind of maybe it's a little warning or something to think about.
More than willing to think about, but question the not getting up to the top of the stop logs, is that so? Are we 90% of maximum full, 95%, 99.9%? What's the magnitude of this?
I don't have that in front of me, but we're probably close to 90%.
Really? How many feet are we talking about?
I don't like Marty. I don't have. I'm not in my office. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But
how tall are the stop logs?
Well, we're within. I think we're 4 inches on the Calero stop log. We're 0 inches on the Clementia stop log. So we're basically full Clementia, but just not into the stop log. And where are we at Chesbro?
We were about. At the end of the pumping, we're about 8, but that goes up and down,
right?
From usage. So we pretty much we didn't get into the spillway at all at Clementia. We had about 4 inches of Clearo.
Okay, did you hear that?
And the stop logs are 2 feet tall.
Yeah. Okay. So that's that can't be that many acre feet, though, can it?
Oh, we're probably 200 or 300 acre feet, maybe. Yeah.
Really?
Well, we would have to get the numbers.
Yeah, we can get the numbers. I'm sorry. I'm not, like I said, I'm not at my desk. I don't have those numbers at my fingertips. But, you know, it's just, I wouldn't say it's like, you know, a horrendous issue, but it is an occurrence and it's something to think about, especially in conjunction with the state actually curtailing our rights.
Now that's a big, that's a different issue, right?
Yeah, I know that's a
that's an awful issue to be confronting us, but
it's pretty random. There was no warning. It was just automatically curtailed.
Yeah.
And you know, what's interesting is it's basically three major rainstorms that, you know, provided most of the availability and the consumedness. It looks like if you look back at the data, we rely more and more on single and double events versus, you know, just kind of a raining a little bit all the time. But I'm not a, you know, meteorologist, but, you know, I know that droughts can last a long time. You know, a couple of the things that staff were talking about are just restricting a couple of watering days a week. I mean, most, you know, if the board did want to move forward with that, most, you know, most people probably don't need to water 7 days a week. I mean, I don't know. It was just, that was a thought, like we could do something that's, you know, not too painful. But that's obviously, you know, something the board needs to talk about.
Are we publishing any of this information about being short on the stop logs, or just give people a heads up to
what do you mean, on like on the website
or on the pipeline or whatever?
I imagine we could probably put it in the pipeline.
I mean, people probably would like to know, and if it's significant, that maybe that might give people a reason to curtail voluntarily.
Yeah, we could do a voluntary curtailment ask.
Mm-hmm.
I like that idea. I had the same questions Martin did, that if we're that close to topping off, I'd be surprised if we're talking about 10% off of our maximum. But I don't like the idea of putting something in place just for practice purposes. I think we might then be sending the wrong message, because I mean, in the big picture here, there should be enough water storage available for not only what's going on now, but all the way to build out. And if we can't supply enough water to the community at 90, you know, being that close to the top of the stop logs now, what happens at full build out? It just, there's something in there that's just not clicking with me.
Well, I think part of it is, you know, staff is concerned, you know, if we're not full like we have before, that means we're going to start next season at probably a much lower point. And if this, you know, if this continually occurs, you know, we'll have to take some measures. You understand that we're, you know, if we use the same amount of water that we did last year, we're going to be starting at a lower amount, a lower level to try to.
No, I get it. But so worst case is we have to fire up the big pumps to fill up, because the smaller pumps won't fill up because we need to put more in. and I get all that. But Martin, it sounds like you're proposing that we ask for a voluntary cutback, and I think I agree with that. And that, are you okay if that's our recommendation to the board?
Yeah, it is. I think maybe by the time you get ready to publish, you'll know what that percentage is, and we could relay that and tell them it's an issue if we can't fill up next year. But this year is pretty much full, except for these few inches. I mean, we lose a lot of water just from evaporation. I don't imagine it's substantially more than this, isn't it? Isn't evaporation more than these 4 inches and 8 inches?
Probably, but evaporation is kind of a constant thing. Like, it's going to happen every year.
It kind of depends on the weather, though. But.
Yeah, we pretty much have hot summers.
Yeah.
The other thing that could happen here is by the time we get around to having the board meeting to discuss this again, the state may come in with something mandatory, and this is all moot. So
true, very true.
Randy, can I chime in for a second? This is Tom.
Sure.
The reason we put this on the agenda the past couple meetings is because the state is currently in is it 20% voluntary curtailment, Michael?
15. I think it might be 15.
Okay. So the governor's put out this voluntary thing, but I felt it would be useful if we described what conservation methods would happen if they forced us to do conservation. And I believe I just wanted this committee to not be surprised with what that would look like. And I think what we're talking about, there's 2 day a week watering or possibly 3 day a week watering. And there's just a handful of cities or districts have implemented that type of restriction to date. But if we get further into this drought situation and the governor decides to flex his muscle or something, he may force us to do conservation. And I just wanted to have everybody be aware of what that looks like, because most of us weren't here the last time there was mandatory watering restrictions. So that's sure. Pretty kind of informational in preparation of what is pretty likely to occur.
Okay. So the bottom line here is we're going to ask for the governor's voluntary 15%, and we're going to monitor the situation.
Correct.
Okay. Amelia, any hands?
I do have a hand. In the meantime, though, Randy, I'm going to go ahead and put that as an agenda item on the agenda for June 15th. Are those your wishes?
Yes, please.
Thank you very much. And Mr. Sullivan, go ahead.
I think you're about 140 acre feet from being topped off, which is about 2.7% from being 100%.
Okay, that's kind of what I was thinking the range was, but thank you, John. Appreciate that. Let's then move on to converting district design standards to Sacramento County standards.
Okay, so I've been dealing a lot with the district's design standards, and there's been several instances, and people have been talking about how we want to update our design standards. Initially asked our district engineer, Joe Domenichelli, to give us a quote to do so, and haven't heard back for a while. And in the interim, I asked him, like, well, what kind of order of magnitude would be looking at for the cost of the scope to be able to do this? And he said they were probably looking at about $100,000 to update our standards. And so I'm talking with staff. I took a look around on the web and some of the local area districts, And I think we might be better off if we adopt Sacramento Area Sewer District for sewer standards, EID for water and recycled water, and then Sac County for drainage standards. If we, you know, doing this, a lot of the local contractors and developers are used to using Sac County standards or even EID standards, and, you know, kind of save us from reinventing the wheel. There's probably some standards that were placed in our standards from prior operations directors that had special ideas about how things should be done with really no basis for industry standard. We would still be utilizing our district engineer to rework some of our district specifications that we have in these specific district jobs, and we would reference the standards in that, but that would really cut that scope down tremendously to get our standards updated. Not having updated design standards, you know, could potentially cost us a lot of money in future repairs for things that we either accept or had done that weren't done in a manner that is consistent with good construction, modern construction standards, or made of materials that will serve the district long-term. It also, you know, creates more harmony in the field and construction projects and working with developers and other contractors for district projects when people are, you know, already familiar with a good quality standard. And, you know, we don't have big engineering departments like some of these entities do. And, you know, I think it's kind of like RMCSD reinventing the wheel. The beauty of adopting these other district and city standards is that as they automatically update theirs, I mean, as they update theirs, ours automatically get updated in kind. And I've looked at these standards, and you know, the EID standards are really good with water and recycled water, and they stay updated. The Sacramento Area Sewer District has good sewer standards, and Sac County Drainage has great drainage standards. So what I propose to do is get with our district engineer, get the specifications modified and integrated with these new standards, and then move forward and bring those back to the board as a resolution to adopt those updated standards.
Very good. So the Sac County standards would be used for construction, development, and the EID standards would be used for drainage. Is that what you said?
No. Sac County would be used for drainage. EID would be used for water construction, recycled water construction, and Sacramento Area Sewer District would be used for sewer construction.
Okay.
They teach a little bit better at what they do.
Yeah. Based on the Martin?
I'm in agreement with your concept. I understand it's difficult to continually update our standards to current practices, but I'm wondering if there are some of our current practices that need to be retained. Maybe there's certain construction types that we don't want, and we would want to retain them. So are you going to go through some sort of review to make sure that we're in agreement with these two standards?
Oh yeah, yes. And where something differs, we can probably make an exceptions.
So in general, you're going to reference these, or you're going to adopt these by reference? You're not going to reproduce them, are you?
No, we're just going to adopt them by reference. I think that's the most convenient thing to do. And we will look through and see if there's anything that we, you know, want to keep, but I highly doubt it.
Sometimes some standards get kind of watered down sometimes, and maybe we don't want that. maybe we want something more strict. I don't know. But I would think that you should, as you say, do a review and make sure we're happy with what we're going to.
Yeah, what I've seen so far in my review, they look pretty good. So, but we will definitely, you know, I'll get with my staff to make sure that we're not getting rid of something that we really want.
Yeah. Well, good. That seems reasonable to me.
I think this is a good idea. I'm surprised we haven't done it sooner. In the business that Marty and I are in, typically a contract that you would bid on has a set of special provisions that reference, in our case, the Caltrans standard plans and specifications dated, 20, the most recent one, which I assume that's kind of where you're going. And if you wanted to do something more stringent or different than what is in these standards, you can always put together a set of special provisions that addresses that. And as long as the contractor, the special provisions say that it's in case of conflict, the special provisions prevail. That's typically how that would be handled. So no, I'm all in favor of this, Michael. I think it's a great idea.
Yeah. I mean, the provisions is, you know, the special provisions is something that we do for our own projects for developers, you know, when they go to start designing and start working with our district engineer. I think that it's a playing field that's now leveled because they have an idea about, you know, what our standards are, because they're used to working with these other agencies.
Sure. And you know, you've got some special conditions out here when you start talking about working with the clay that we have and those kinds of things, where you might want to address it separately from whatever's in the county standards.
Oh yeah. And when we do the review of what the developer proposes, that's an excellent opportunity to do that.
Sure. Amelia, any hands?
No hands.
Very good. Thank you, Michael. Let's move on to chemical treatment maintenance of Chesbrough and Clementia.
So we want to move, the staff would like to move forward with an application of C-Clear in the Chesbrough Reservoir and then Green Clean Pro in the Clementia Reservoir. C-Clear is something we proactively apply every year to make sure that we don't get, you know, big algae growth in Chesbrough, which is our intake for our water treatment plant. There's been some early indications of algae growth, as would be normal for that reservoir, but the reason that we use the C-Clear to wipe out the, or prevent the algae from growing is we no longer have the luxury of utilizing activated carbon in our treatment plant number one, because the activated carbon can tear up the membranes. And activated carbon is something you use to improve the taste of the water. And so the more algae we have, the more activated carbon we have to use. And so we want to try to prevent algae from being in Chesbrough because of that fact. And so that's the reasoning for the C-Clear application in Chesbrough. The Green Clean Pro treatment in Clementia would be to knock down the algae that is starting to grow and try to prevent it from growing in that four acre swimming area. There's a significant actual underground or underwater plant life that has grown in that area. I believe that RMA had physically removed some of that last year. We could potentially have a chemical application to remove that, but the chemical that we would have to use for the underwater plant would also make it where irrigation couldn't be used for days. And RMA does utilize some of Clementia for irrigation. So we're going to try to remove the underwater plant. We would probably want to do it well before the irrigation period and work with RMA on that, or work with RMA on a physical removal. But the reason that you would want to remove some of the underwater plant is because it does become kind of a growing lattice for the algae to attach to. So the thought was, let's do a Green Clean Pro treatment, which is basically hydrogen peroxide, kind of like what we use in Laguna Joaquin to knock down the algae prior to kind of the recreation season.
Okay. Is it a one-time deal or a multiple-time deal?
One-time deal.
Until next year, and then it becomes another one-time deal.
It's an annual. Chasbro is going to be annual.
Okay. Martin, anything else?
I'm good with this.
Yeah, me too. Makes a lot of sense. I have no problem with it, so we will move it on to the board. I guess we need to move this onto the board for approval, or we can just approve it.
I think Tom can just spend the money. We're just kind of, it's an FYI, and I wanted to get a nod from the committee.
All right. So be it. Any hands on that item, Amelia?
No.
So we are moving on to director and staff comments and suggestions. Anything from staff?
I have nothing.
Hearing none. Martin, anything?
Back to the capital improvement list. Is that going to come to the board at a particular time? Or what's the schedule on that?
Is Paula on, or is she meeting with the consultants right now?
No, I'm here.
Is the plan to bring the CIPs to the June 15th meeting because the budget was pulled at in the May meeting?
Yes, that's correct.
Or I mean the June 1st meeting, sorry.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else, Martin?
You're good? Mm-hmm.
I'm good. Good job, Michael, on these items. Appreciate your time and effort on them. And that brings us to adjournment. So thank you, everyone. Have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.